If you'll turn this morning to Matthew chapter 19, Lord willing, won't be before you long. As each one of these chemos goes on, I get a little bit weaker and a little bit weaker. So won't be too long before you today. I'm thankful for the Lord and what He's done and allowed me to be able to come visit and stand and teach when I can. So that wasn't a complaint. That was just letting you know where I get sometimes physically, just get tired. Without me do fine today, don't think of it. Like I tell a lot of people, the hair is still gone, so you know it's still working. So it still works on me late in the day sometimes, or as I do more stuff, it feels that way. Good to be among friends this morning, and what it feels like family. I don't get a lot of that at home, back in Houston, but get that at home, but not back in Houston. But you always feel like you're at home when you're here. I got a card from a little lady. I guess it was, I opened it yesterday. I don't know when it came. And I've never met her, ever. And she's 90 now. She turned 90. And I've known her, known her, and she's known me since about 1994, 1995. And she sent me a card and said, "We're praying for you." And sent me a little photo of her quilting group. She's got a quilting ladies group back at her church up in Missouri. And it's just an odd coincidence how our paths crossed. But like I said, 20-some-odd years, I've never met her, but still feels like a friend. She loves the Lord, and that's how I feel like when I get here. Everybody here, we all love the Lord and want to worship and want to look in His Scripture and His Word and see what He's got for us. And I guess I say that because I feel right at home, and I got that card from her. It's like getting good news from a far country, so to speak, and see what's going on. So. But anyway, let's see what we've got here. Chapter 19 of Matthew, very familiar to you, Scripture, rich young ruler, but we're just going to look at three words and then be right out of your way. I'll read some here for us to see about verses, I look here, 16 through 24, maybe 23, and we'll be done. And behold, one came, said unto him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I have eternal life?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." He saith unto him, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Jesus saith unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now, a lot of times, what you'll see that talk from be talking about rich and wealthy and money, and you hear that sometimes, especially in these health for wealth, health and wealth, or wealth and health, however. You know, we've got one down in Houston, probably the biggest one. Messages that you hear, they'll twist that and turn that around, so you have to be careful with that. What we're going to look at this morning, and I'm glad to see a lot of the younger people in, we're going to look at three words: rich, young, and then ruler. And those are three things, if you think about it in life, that everybody kind of, if you're not careful, you can get caught up in any of those. And I'll show you what I mean in just a second. And we'll see where this young man was as Jesus is talking to him here. And gives him the commands, and of course, Lord knows his heart, and was looking into him to see where his real, faith would lie, and he knew it wasn't with him. Let's just look first at rich. And, you know, that's something we have to, everybody's chasing the dollar today. And that's right. And we got to make a living. Now, that's true. We have to. And, you know, I see down in Houston now, if you want a job, if you know how to hang sheetrock, or if you know how to do trim work or flooring, just about any type of carpentry type skill, it's a gold mine. Because you had some 180,000 homes flooded, and so they got to do a lot of, you know, construction, a lot of tearing out and putting in. There's a guy that right down below us that he drives a little gray Toyota truck. It's not four-wheel drive. Of course, down there they don't need four-wheel drive, but a lot of them have big four-wheel drives, and I don't know why, but anyway, that's a whole other subject. I think they just like them because it says Texas edition on it, and it's a big four-wheel drive truck. But this little fella, he's just got a little Toyota truck, and I don't know, it's probably late 80s models, early 90s. And every morning, early, by the time the sun comes up, he's already out there. He's measured, and he's cutting his sheetrock, and he's got it laying on the bed of his little Toyota truck. And he carries it in, takes it back out, carries it in, takes it back out. You know, whatever he's measuring or going back and forth. And I've noticed he's moved from townhome to townhome to townhome. And I told Kim, I said, now, if they just use him, I said, that little man, I said, he worked down here for 4 or 5 years. But I know others that get other contractors, but he's got a lot of work right now. And he's in the money, so to speak. He's probably charging about what he wants to and probably doing a good job. And, of course, they can look at each one. He's moving along. So there's nothing wrong with making a living. So don't take that away from here. There's nothing wrong with making a living when, like times like that, you know, after the hurricane, people need those jobs done. And there's different because they're warning of scams. Of course, people's coming from all over the country, and so you got to be careful with that. So the wealthy is something that it's not a bad thing, but at the same time, you don't want to chase that. And if you look here in those, when he's the ruler and kind of, I guess, the adjectives that's described him, rich. In other words, he needs to consider your ways. What's your motive in life? Is your motive just to pile up everything to yourself? And I know here we're an older class for the most part, and we've lived long enough to see that's not the case. But if you turn with me over to Haggai 1:6, let's see. What I do with my pen? I've laid it down. There it is. I'm gonna put that right there. We'll see what the scripture says. I won't read all that. The people are being urged here to build a temple and to worship God. But if you'll go through here and read this sometime, get a chance, you'll see that there's about four or five times the Lord says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. In other words, he's advising you, you better stop and take a look at yourself. What are you doing? Not only and I'm talking about here as children of Israel and their worship and what they're worshiping, but that also applies also in our life, it would as well, to consider our ways. What's our, you remember Preacher Jack used to say, he said, you got a lot of little gods out in the garage. I remember he say that a lot. He said, a lot of little things out there that take your time away from God. And so that would go back to consider your ways. So look at verse number five, then we'll look at verse number six. And this goes back to the rich young ruler. And again, not applying to saying anything's wrong with the wealthy or having the money, but it's where your heart is. And I think this describes it well. It says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Because if you'll look here, they've done very well. It's just that where the heart lies. He said, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. You drink. Now, see, you look at that and say, wait a second, I thought you said they didn't have enough, but they actually do. What he's saying is they're gluttons. They want more, they want more, they want more, they want more. In other words, the Lord's blessed them with what they need, but they're not satisfied. That's right, Pastor. They're not satisfied. They want more, they want more, they want more. And that's how we are today. I know, and I won't embarrass Jesse, I'll just tell this. She and I both had to get a new phone, and eventually we had to. Her batteries just ran out too quick. I mean, mine would go from 50% down to 8%. And I mean, I'd be during a text or a phone call, and it would happen like in just almost immediate. And hers was worse than mine. So we didn't get new phones. We bought, I guess, old versions of refurbished type phones, but they're new to us. And I say that, though, because when Jesse and I were looking at them, of course, she and I both, our eyes kind of got big, and we said, well, yeah, but for $10 more, we can get this phone, you can add $15 more, and you can get one that's a 48-inch screen, you know. I don't know how you'd carry that in your pocket, but, I mean, you know, we just wanted, we had a little phone, and we could go to a little bigger phone, and that's what we wanted. And she said, oh, we can get yellow, or not yellow, a gold, or a yellow color, or silver color is what it was. And I thought the gold kind of looked yellow to me. But anyway, she wanted the gold. And I said, well, I like the silver. And then I said, well, how much more extra is that? So, you know, we had to step back and say, what do we actually just need? And what can we be satisfied with and not go overboard? Because, again, those phones get expensive. I mean, now they got that X coming out, and it's supposed to be $1,000. So it's not necessarily that you're not got what you need. It's not being satisfied. So as you look here, he says, you have so much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. In other words, you just put it in a bag or you just waste it. It's kind of like, you know, you hear the old saying, my mother used to tell me, she said, we can't, you know, money will burn a hole through your pocket. She'd tell me that when I was little. She said, you need to check those pockets for holes. She said, didn't I give you money earlier? And you hear that old saying that it must be just falling out or dropping. That's back, of course, kids today don't understand that because everything's credit cards, I guess, or paper bills. Back then, you know, mom and dad still give you 50 cents and it'd count for something. And, of course, if you had a hole in your pocket, you'd lose those two quarters pretty quick. But that's what we're looking at here. And you look at verse number 7, it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. See, in verse number 8, he starts giving him some instructions. He says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. And that's why we're going back and look at just a second here. And hey, guys, looking at the rich young ruler, somebody who's got their mind set on money, just more, not enough, not satisfied. Been blessed with this or that, got to have more. And again, there's nothing wrong with, well, we've heard this before here. Several preachers and evangelists coming through. I remember over the years, several people said, so I'm not even going to try to remember. I've heard it over and over, said, it's not anything wrong with having things as long as the things don't have you. And that's what you see in this rich young ruler. The things have got him. Stay where you're at. I want to read you something over here in a Psalm 49, if I can find it and get over here. Well, I'll tell you what, that cool air feels good on this bald head this morning coming down. I always get warm and get up here. My nose gets to running. But that cool air feels good down the back of my neck. I don't know if somebody turned that on or if it's just time for it, but it feels good. So Psalm 49, we'll look over here. And this is, the whole psalm is, if you'll read this, and we don't forsake time, we can't, but it's trust in God. Not in your wealth, not in what you can acquire, not what you have, but to trust in God and put your trust in God. So as we look down through here, it said, verse number 6, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. They should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool, and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. In other words, when you die, it is true. You know, your wealth you're going to leave to somebody else. Either your kids or grandkids or the government or somebody is going to get that. It's going to be passed along. In other words, you can't take it with you, as the old adage goes. I just wanted to take a second this morning, again, look at these three adjectives, or these two adjectives for the ruler. One of them was rich. So consider your ways. You know, you think about it, as with this man here, did he go to hell because he had too much? In other words, he was too blessed, had too much. Lived very well, but he had too much. Kept his eyes away from God. Kept him out of church on Sunday, so to speak. Kept him away on Wednesday nights. Kept him out of his Bible. He had to keep up and keep going. So let's move on. Look at young, staying youthful. This is a fit. Of course, our young crowd this morning, it's hard for them to understand, but we do age. You know, I turned 50 this week. And, you know, I don't know how many times I had somebody tell me happy birthday. And that was nice of them. Why, I had several appointments and things this week. But I think the only reason why they did, they realized I was 50. That way they could say something about it. Well, happy birthday. We say, you're 50. Well, happy birthday. Welcome to the 50s, is what they'd say. And I thought, told Kim, I said, now all through my 30s and 40, you know, 40s, I said, run across people at work and different places. I didn't have people tell me happy birthday as often as I did. I mean, everywhere we went, oh, I see you're having, well, I'm 52. And I'd say, oh, 52. Oh, yeah. I said, you know, they'd tell me how old they were and this, that, and the other. And, well, you don't look 50, is what they'd say, you know. And I'd say, well, thank you. But, you know, it's just something to do about staying youthful. You want to stay young. But in that also, there's youthful lust. There's things that sometimes, and that's just not youth have that, but that's also something that can get us as we get older. I'm not saying that's something that's tied just to young people. So if you stay where you're at here, I'm going to read what Timothy has to say about over in 2 Timothy. If I can leave my, just a second here. And I'll see what old Timothy says about it. I had it right there. It is. I marked it. I thought I did. Over in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse number 22. Yeah, we'll go to verse number 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So here we're looking at the word young again. And we have to, and again, we place so much on our young people today. And we have to stop and remember, we were young once as well. I tell you the story about David McCrary. He's a man I worked for, and he was in his 50s probably when I was 18, 19 years old. And I'll never forget the day I hit 20, he quit calling me. Oh, he's only 19. He's only 18. He's only 19. He expected me to, I guess, grow up a lot just in that 1 year, but it made a difference just in the way he referred to me. But it was, a lot of it was just, you know, youth, you know, and things that I would want to do or think I could do. Scripture gets a little more deeper than that, and that's just not something that we look over. So he was a young ruler. Not only was he wealthy and well off, but you wonder sometimes where his thoughts would lie, other thoughts would lie. As we see in verse number 22, flee also youthful lust. Now, I didn't say that's just, again, for people under 30 or 35 or 25. That's for everybody. It says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness. In other words, pursue it, chase it, run it down. And you think, what righteousness is it talking about? Just righteousness here, righteousness of God, consistent with the character of God. What would be consistent with the things that are pleasing to God? That's what you need to pursue, need to chase it down, need to stay after it. And that means that to do that when you're 20 or when you're 50 or when you're 70 or when you're 90. To pursue after those things, but to flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, God's word, staying in God. And you know, as I thought about this, and we looked at these adjectives, the rich, young, ruler, if you follow these, you won't have a problem with the first part of having your heart in the right place and being, not satisfied, because you'd be satisfied with the things of God. And what God's done for you in your lives, in your families. And that's just not materialistically, but that's in your heart as well. And if you just continue to look at these, consistent with the character of God or what God would have you do, such as righteousness, faith, be God's word, stand in God's word, charity, love. Love for someone else when they really don't, what have they done anything to deserve it or not? Love, that deep love, that charity. Peace. In other words, you try to dwell and get along with others. You have that, not only that peace in your heart, but peace around each other and others as well. So with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And see, that again, there's not a big, bold, mark there or asterisk that says, again, these are only for certain ages because people over a certain age should know these things. And we should in some cases. But at the same time, we have to avoid or we have to pay attention and keep these things in mind as well. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Again, that goes back to that love, that charity that you have for others, that peace you have in your heart and you're willing to share. Same way as we think about when we go out on visitation. We're going out for a reason. Invite others to church. And again, it shouldn't be for like personal gain or just so you could look good for others, but in the work of the Lord. So the rich young ruler. The last word there is ruler, and then we'll be wrapping up as I look at the time. Being important. And you know that's one of the hardest things because that brings pride into it. So you get rich and wealthy, and we think about, I got too much. I'll just keep working, working. It takes me out of the away from God, and I don't need God now. Look what I've got, or this, that. You know, I don't know how your mind would think, but let's just say that's how it goes. Or you're young, you get some youthful lust, so to speak, and you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing, or watching things you shouldn't be watching. And again, you get out of God's word, and you're not following after the things that would be good character with the children of God, so you kind of get away from God that way. But if neither one of those gets you, you have to be cautious, because being important, being somebody, and that gets a lot of people. You have to fight that pride. That pride gets up in your heart quickly. And pride is, you know, sometimes it just barely creeps up and it'll mess with you, you know, kind of, especially on the job. Well, maybe they should have gave me that promotion, or, you know, and you've been there several years and it just kind of eats at you. But sometimes it gets you quick. Something can happen and, well, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to stand for that. And that's, my kids would never do that. How bad does that make me look if my kids are doing that? You know, that's nothing but pride. You need to stop for a second as parents and grandparents in cases and look around and say, wait a second. Said, I don't need to worry about how that makes me look. I need to worry about why my kids are into that, or why they've thought that, or why they've done that. You remember, that's another saying I think Preacher Jack used to say. He said, before you start talking about other people's kids while yours are little, wait till they get about teenagers and then start talking. And I remember he used to say that. And that kind of goes into that section right there, is being important, being somebody. So keep everything else suppressed just as long as you look good. So see, this rich young ruler, as the Lord tried to point out to him there with the commandments, he knew he had more problems in his heart. And you know, when you add all three of those up, and you look at them, and you go through the scripture, and you look different places over, and I think it's Romans. It's either chapter 10 or chapter 11. Talk about being high-minded. You go over and look in, I'm in Timothy now. I think that's, wait a second. Let's see, it should be right here real close. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. In other words, it's talking about men in the coming apostasy or the falling away of the church. Timothy here, as they're being described to Timothy, Paul is describing what men would be like. And so traitors, heady, high-minded. And when you think of high-minded, you think of someone who's haughty, thinks more of themselves than they ought to think. I remember my mom used to tell us that all the time as boys, and I'd always just say, what's mom talking about? She'd say, don't think more of yourself than what you ought to think. And you remember, I've told you guys this before, the Sunday school class I have. She always used the same example. She says, every hot air balloon's got to come down. That's what she said. She said, and after that birthday party, we fill those balloons up with those helium or hot air is what she'd call it. And she'd say hot air. And she said, we let them go. She said, you wait a little while, and there'll be some of them be stuck in the trees. She said, but most of them fall back to the ground. She'd say, that's how your lives are, boys. And my brother and I just look at each other and just kind of grin, you know. And that's before we'd get into some kind of other mischief, you know, kind of mischief that we'd get into. But that's true in life. The rich young ruler. And as I think about that, and I kind of went off to the side, that came to my mind that I'm in Timothy. If you'll round or ball all that up, what you've got is religion today. And people are religious. And it's not about preaching the gospel. But I think, as the brother said, Brother John did this morning, that was a blessing too. And it comes to mind, he said that everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's all right. So he's working in an environment that he just couldn't work in anymore. But everybody there is going to heaven. Everybody's fine. And, you know, from what he knows, from his Savior, from what he knows the Bible says, Scripture says, that's not true. That's right. And you get a lot of people today. Like I said, we're right down in Houston. A lot of good people down there, too. A lot of good churches. But, you know, they got that one big health and wealth gospel preaching church down there. Sits right there off the interstate. Huge place. So I thought it was the Houston Convention Center. And Houston is the fourth largest city in the country. So you can imagine how big that church must be. As I drove by, and I said, well, there's the convention center. Kim said, I don't think that's the convention center. She said, I think that's that Osteen's church. And I said, well, I guess it is. And that's how big it is. So I just, again, not to point them out, but to say, in general, if you listen to what's being preached and what's being taught, a lot of this is what you hear. As far as, oh, you want to make a little more money? You want more money? You want to be, you know, you want to be well off? You want to have a bigger house and drive a nicer car? Here's what you need to do. In other words, we go back to what? Is it consistent with the character of God? Is it righteousness, as we would think? Is it following God's word? Is it done out of love from the heart? And anyway, that's all I've got for you this morning. I know that was short, but the rich young ruler. But again, look at those adjectives themselves, and then look at ourselves and describe our lives. And so, been a blessing to be here today. Pray for us. We go back for therapy next week. And you got time to mingle, as Mr. Grizzle would say. No, he didn't say mingle. He got time to gossip, is what he used to say. He got time to gossip.